Acheson's obvious skepticism led Oppenheimer to realize how few allies he had inside the administration. However, one firm ally was George Kennan, who that autumn was preparing to resign his post as director of the policy planning staff at the State Department. Although Acheson had once set great store by Kennan's advice, the two men now rarely agreed on issues of substantive policy. The architect of America's containment policy was unhappy with how militarized that policy had become. His disillusionment was complete when the Truman administration, in reaction to Soviet intransigence, broke its agreement with the USSR and established an independent government in West Germany. So, in late September 1949, frustrated and isolated, Kennan announced his intention to leave government service altogether. Kennan had first encountered Oppenheimer at a War College lecture in 1946. "He was dressed in the usual brown suit with trousers much too long," Kennan said. "He looked like a graduate student in physics rather than a man of distinction. He shuffled out to the edge of the platform and spoke without notes, as I recall, for 40 or 45 minutes, with such startling scrupulousness and lucidity that nobody dared ask a question." In the course of 1949 to 1950, Kennan and Oppenheimer developed a close friendship based on mutual respect and education. Oppie had invited Kennan to Princeton for a classified seminar on nuclear weapons. Kennan had also had lengthy dealings with Oppenheimer over the question of British and Canadian access to uranium. "He kept the whole thing on a very high plane," Kennan recalled of these meetings. "He was a man who moved rapidly in the intellectual sense, and accurately and with great insight. At these meetings, nobody wanted to engage in trivialities or to do anything but his best intellectually." In the midst of the debate over the super, Kennan again traveled to Princeton, arriving on November 16, 1949. He and Oppenheimer talked at length about the present state of the atomic problem. Oppie found the visit inspiriting. Kennan's views, he thought, were non-doctrinaire and sympathetic. At the time, Kennan was suggesting that in response to the Soviet bomb, the president could propose a moratorium on building a super. "To me," Oppenheimer wrote Kennan the next day, "the suggestions you made seem reasonable." But he warned Kennan that in the present climate of opinion, they would not seem so to many in Washington whose notions of safeguards have attained a kind of rigid and absolute quality. As a measure of how politically attuned Oppenheimer had become, he warned Kennan, "We must be prepared to meet and overcome the arguments which hold that your proposals are too dangerous." Upon receiving this warning, Kennan sat down and tried his hand at drafting a possible presidential statement announcing a decision not to build the H-bomb at this time. In eloquent language that substantially reflected the GAC's analysis of the issue, Kennan outlined three succinct reasons not to proceed with a weapon of almost unlimited destructive power. First, this weapon could not conceivably have a purely military employment. Second, there is no such thing as absolute security, and the country's current atomic arsenal was more than sufficiently powerful to deter any kind of attack. And third, for us to embark on such a path would certainly not deter others from doing likewise. To the contrary, to build the super would almost certainly inspire others to do the same. The speech was never given, but over the next 6 weeks, Kennan fleshed out these ideas into an 80-page formal report re-examining the entire problem of nuclear weapons. He showed an early draft of the paper to Oppenheimer, who thought it thoroughly admirable. This prescient paper, though less well-known than his famous 1947 Foreign Affairs essay, which proposed a policy of containment, is a seminal document of the early Cold War. Kennan himself later called it one of the most important, if not the most important, of all the documents I ever wrote in government. Knowing how controversial it would be, Kennan sent it to Acheson on January 20, 1950, as a personal paper. The document, Memorandum, the International Control of Atomic Energy, challenged fundamental assumptions underlying the Truman administration's view of both the bomb and the Soviet Union. Adopting Oppenheimer's perspective, Kennan argued that the atomic bomb was dangerous precisely because it was mistakenly seen as a cheap panacea for the Soviet threat. Echoing Oppie, he wrote that the military people had seized upon the super as the answer to the Russian acquisition of the bomb. "I fear that the atomic bomb, with its vague and highly dangerous promise of decisive results, of easy solutions to profound human problems will impede understanding of the things that are important to a clean, clear policy and will carry us toward the misuse and dissipation of our national strength. Kennan pleaded with Acheson not to support building an even more terrifying weapon of mass destruction, the super, without first trying to negotiate a comprehensive arms control regime with the Soviets, as Oppenheimer had suggested earlier. Failing that, Kennan argued that the United States should not make the atomic weapon the centerpiece of its national defense. Instead, American officials should make it clear to the Soviets that they regarded atomic weapons as something superfluous to our basic military posture, as something which we are compelled to hold against the possibility that they might be used by our opponents. A small number of such weapons, he wrote, would be sufficient to deter the Soviet Union from using the bomb against the West. To this point, Kennan's memo followed the logic of the GAC's October 30, 1949, recommendations. But Kennan picked up another idea that Oppenheimer had considered recently. Instead of relying on a massive arsenal of atomic bombs, Washington should substantially augment its conventional arms, particularly in Western Europe. The Soviets, he said, must understand that the West was willing to field sufficient troops and conventional armaments in Western Europe to deter any possible invasion. Such a conventional deterrent would then permit Washington to pledge itself to a policy of no first use of nuclear weapons. America, he argued, should move as rapidly as possible toward the removal of atomic weapons from national armaments without insisting on a deep-seated change in the Soviet system. Kennan regarded Stalin's regime as a reprehensible tyranny, but he did not think Stalin reckless. The Soviet dictator surely was determined to defend his internal empire, but that did not mean that he intended to wage a war of aggression against the Western allies, a war that would have inevitably threatened the stability of his own regime. Stalin understood that a war with the West might well spell the ruin of the Soviet Union. "I was firmly convinced," Kennan said later, "that they had had absolutely their belly full of war. Stalin never wanted another major war."